And we're joined by Dan Hallstrom, President and CEO of the U.S. Meat Export Federation. We check in with Dan each month to see how our beef, our meat sales are going. And it looks like, Dan, that both beef and pork exports continue on a record pace.
Yes, good morning, Mike, and thank you for having me. No doubt, the trend lines we've talked about the last few months are still pretty robust. We have a lot of momentum that continues to, I wouldn't say amaze, but it's been pretty solid. And, we're up, September was up 20% on the beef side and about steady on the pork side. And, of course, that's coming off some pretty big numbers from a year ago. So one of the things that's consistent is it's pretty broad-based growth across many markets for both beef and pork.
And what are the big markets?
Well, if you start with the beef side, we had dramatic growth in our largest value market, Japan. Korea was up. Hong Kong, China region as a whole was up, as it has been the last several months. Mexico continues to rebound. And then you have some of the Central American markets and Indonesia. It's really broad-based on the beef side. Pork side, the same trends. We're down in China, which has been the case now for the last 4 or 5 months, down about a little over 20%. But the other markets are making up the slack. And, once again, we're looking at Mexico, Japan, Central America, South America. So that's the real optimistic note here, is that we're not reliant on one market. We're seeing broad-based growth, which is a good thing.
And the other thing, although you continually work, of course, to grow demand and market share, the demand is obviously there.
Without a doubt. I mean, COVID aside, the basics are really strong. I mean, you have expanding middle class in a lot of these smaller emerging regions. Some of them are not so small anymore, but you look at a market like Colombia on beef and pork. 10 years ago, 2010, we exported about $20 million into Colombia for both beef and pork. Our forecast for this year is we're going to be somewhere in the neighborhood of $240 million, and that's just into Colombia. And Colombia is a market that no one talked about much back in 2010. So just one small example, and there's a lot more of them out there that show the same sort of promise as we go forward.
I remember many years ago visiting Colombia, and that's when we were trying to get a free trade agreement done with them. Obviously, that free trade agreement has helped increase our market share there, grow that market.
Exactly. That's a really good point, Mike. I mean, this is, you can have all the demand in the world, but if you don't have access, or at least on a level playing field with our global competitors, you're pushing water uphill, so to speak. So yeah, that's the beauty of having trade relations where you're on a level playing field. Korea is another good example over the years with the CORUS agreement. We have the Japan Ag Agreement implemented in 2020. The list goes on and on. But it's really important that on the trade policy side, that we stay aligned and remain competitive.
We're talking with Dan Hallstrom, President and CEO of the U.S. Meat Export Federation. Dan, so on the demand side, that's good news. The challenge is still with supply chain and moving product, and we know those issues. How is that impacting our ability to deliver product to these countries?
Yeah, this is, we've talked about this the last couple of months now. This issue is unfortunately not getting better. In fact, you could argue it's getting worse. Congestion's increasing. The delays of loading out at various ports is also increasing. It's not just the West Coast. We're backed up in the Gulf. We're backed up on the East Coast. They're still backed up in some of the major South China ports. It's still a very much a global issue. And, unfortunately, we're starting to see examples around the world where our reputation is probably the most reliable global supplier of beef, pork, and lamb in the world. That's a little bit at risk. Not a little bit. I'd say it's a lot at risk, because there's examples of frozen cargo that's being delayed 3, 4, 5 weeks, or worse. There's examples that are even worse. And this just is not a good situation. So, you know, if you have customers, and we have a lot of them that are exclusive to U.S. products, we're putting them in a very difficult position because they have a business to run, and not knowing when your product's going to arrive is not a very good way to run your business. So we're actually at our annual board meeting this week with our membership, and this will be one of the biggest topics we talk about this week, is what can we do to improve the situation, and more importantly, what do we do to make sure this doesn't happen again in the near future?
I'm assuming the projections are for the strong sales to continue through the rest of the year, but that is put at risk based on what you just said, right? If our ability to be a reliable supplier is threatened or questioned, then that hurts not only now, but well into the future.
Exactly right. Reputation is everything. And we already have the reputation as probably the safest supplier of high quality meat around the world, right? I mean, our food safety record is second to none. But our ability to supply was also second to none. Now, granted, there's other, you know, Australia and Europe, they're affected by this as well. Maybe not to the same degree, but there's a global effect. But the way I look at it is, if we can do whatever is possible to lessen the blow of this congestion globally to the benefit of the U.S., that will just heighten our reputation even that much more. So, yeah, there's a lot of different levels if you look at this, but the bottom line is, a sale is not complete till the meat's delivered to the customer. Unfortunately, there's a lot of meat between here and the customer right now that's not getting there.
So when we look at these numbers of strong exports, we look at both volume as well as value. Where are we on value?
Yeah, value is, it will be an all-time record this year. Beef side, we're forecasting that we're going to exceed $10 billion globally in sales, which would be over the 2018 number, which is a little over $8 billion. On the pork side, we're going to be pushing, you know, $7 to $8 billion there as well. So you're looking at probably in the neighborhood of $18 billion in red meat exports this year, which makes sense because we know that the commodity prices are higher, but it's exciting. And on the beef side, we're looking at three different regions that will be $2 billion market regions, Japan, Korea, and the Hong Kong, China region. So that's pretty exciting.
Do you see any developing markets out there that you're especially excited about as far as their potential?
Yeah, I think there's quite a few of them. You know, you look at the Central American region, you know, Honduras, Guatemala, Panama, you know, Nicaragua. These are all very legitimate destinations for beef and pork that are growing very quickly. You look at a market like Chile and Peru. I already mentioned Colombia earlier, but Chile and Peru and South America are also very much emerging. You can't really call them new markets. They're emerging as we speak today. Indonesia, Australia on the pork side. We've seen pork exports grow in a big way into Australia. So there's a lot of potential diamonds in the rough, so to speak, that could become much bigger in the next few years.
All important, but again, the headlines still center around China, don't they, and what they're doing.
Exactly. It's quite the dichotomy of stories because on the beef side, we started at a very low base 2 years ago, you know, almost nothing, and now we're talking about the region being China itself being 1.6 billion, and you add Hong Kong on top of that. So it's amazing what the China Phase One agreement has done on the beef side. And I give a lot of credit to the former group at USTR and the previous administration did a very nice job on that. You know, and then, you know, on the pork side, of course, the story of the last couple of years has all been about ASF. And as they rebuild their herds now, the numbers are still big, but they're off big percentage-wise, off 20-some percent, but still the second largest market or second largest year on pork from the U.S. going to China. So Yeah, I've had this question a lot, Mike. Well, how long are we to continue talking about China? I've been talking about it my whole career.
Yeah, and I think we're going to keep talking about it probably. All right, Dan, good to talk with you as always. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Dan Hallstrom, President, CEO of the U.S. Meat Export Federation.